From sea to shining sea, America's favorite uncle, Bumpkin Bob.
Hey, y'all, this is Bumpkin Bob coming to you from the Bumpkin Bob Show here at Bumpkin Media Studios in Siloam Springs, Arkansas. Glad y'all tuned in this morning. It's Saturday, June 30th. Want to give a shout-out first off this morning to Dolores and Vic Hall, who celebrated their 50th wedding anniversary a few weeks ago. And I was privileged enough to attend that party. A shout out to their kids, Donovan, Lisa, and Jerron, for inviting me. Now, I grew up with Donovan and Lisa in the trailer park. Jerron's a little younger, wasn't born till after they had left the trailer park. But Dolores and Vic are part of the trailer park clan that all ran together. And we all hung out and grew up in and around the early 70s. And you will hear stuff about the trailer park as we go through the Bumpkin Bob Show. There's going to be some stories about the trailer park. I don't want nobody from the trailer park clan to get all bent out of shape yet. We'll try not to tell nothing too embarrassing. Also, this next week is the 4th of July. Which will be on Tuesday. I hope everybody has a great 4th. You know what? I just said the wrong date. Today is July 1st, not June 30th. Anyway, today is the 1st. Tuesday will be the 4th. I want y'all to go out and enjoy your family. Be safe on the lake or the river. Have a barbecue. Shoot off some fireworks on this Independence Day. Also, I want to give a shout out to the guys on the job site where I've been working last couple of weeks. The old bumpkin kind of showed his ass yesterday, got bent out of shape, and threw me a little tantrum, I guess, and stomped around and cussed and threatened to pull off the job and leave, and everybody knew I wasn't. They just all got a big kick out of it. I really don't think I upset nobody too bad. Just embarrassed the shit out of myself. And it's something I learned from that yesterday. We're working 6 to 2:30 on this job. And I blew up at 6:30 in the morning. You know, when you do that, you got to spend the rest of the day with these people laughing at you because you made a complete jackass out of yourself. So if you're going to blow up, do it late in the afternoon so you can go get in your truck and go home pretty quick. It makes the day pretty long when you got to spend 7 hours of it feeling like an idiot. And anyway, and also to my apprentice that was working with me, it didn't help matters that when all this was going on, it was pouring down rain, and I made him get his tools and get in the truck because I was leaving. And because in the state of Arkansas, an apprentice, a first, second, or third year apprentice can't be on the job site by itself. Has to be a journeyman or a master electrician on the job with him. And so we were riding together, basically, and so I made him get in the truck. We both ended up soaked, and then we didn't leave anyway. So just remember, when you get mad, do it late in the afternoon. Make things go a little bit easier. Then you can leave and go drink you a cold beer and calm down and go back to work the next day and laugh about it. Anyway, that's just my little take on that. Now, as we get started today, I want to remind you we're fixing to do a tale from the job site. But remember to go over there and at our website and hit those links up, those email links. Get us your tales from job sites or comments about anything we've talked about. We want to hear from you a little bit. And be sure to follow us at Bumpkin Bob Show on Twitter. You know, we want to get those tweets out there and hear your comments on those, too. Anyway, let's get started today with our job site tale. Tell you where Bumpkin Bob came from. when I first went to work for the contractor that I'm working for now, we were working over in Gravette, so I had a pretty good commute because I was living over in the other side of Springdale. And I'd drive every morning to Gravette, and then on the way back, I'd stop at a little convenience store and get me a Coke and then drive home. Well, on this particular day, I not only stopped at the convenience store, I stopped at Walmart in Springdale, went in and picked some stuff up that the ex-wife was needing at the time. So I get home, and my kids are like, "What's on your back, Daddy?" I'm like, "Better not be nothing on my back." Well, a guy that worked on our crew, who shall remain nameless, was a bit of a practical joker, and he put a piece of masking tape on my back that said, "Bumpkin Bob." Well, that's kind of where the Bumpkin Bob came from. And the next day at work, I tried to pull a practical joke on him, and it failed miserably. I couldn't get my shit together, so to speak. But I believe I still owe him one, is what I'm thinking. Probably so. Like I said, and this guy was a practical joker. He was always pulling something. And our boss used to try to catch him in some of his pranks, because some of them could get pretty elaborate. And he used to say all the time, he said, "I don't know when he's doing this stuff because I can't catch him doing any of the elaborate ones." He said, "Every time I check on him, he's working, not off trying to put a practical joke together." So it was kind of a big deal there. But anyway, one day he got a bag that insulation comes from. And you guys that insulate and hang sheetrock are going to know what I'm talking about. They send the insulation, the bad insulation, out in these fiber reinforced bags. And they usually just cut one end of them out and pull all that insulation out, because once it's compressed, they can get quite a bit of insulation in one of these bags. Well, these bags are tougher than shoe leather. They got like reinforcement in them, strings, so they're pretty tough old bags. Well, he got one of them bags and poked a hole in all four corners of the opened end and tied strings to it, and then rolled it up and went out to the plumber's truck and tied it up to the frame of the truck, and then rolled that bag up nice and neat and tucked it up in the back bumper. Well, at this particular job site, they hadn't haven't paved the parking lot yet. Old Bumpkin is stumbling a little bit this morning. Hadn't paved the parking lot yet, so there was about a 2-inch jump from the gravel up to the road surface when you'd leave. Well, this particular plumber, when he would leave the job site, he'd be traveling about 30, 40 miles an hour. So that afternoon, the electrician who was pulling the joke got all of us together. We all got out front, and sure enough, here come that plumber driving about 40 miles an hour, and he hit that curb or hit that asphalt. That thing rolled, that bag rolled out of the back bumper just perfect, and just unrolled and deployed just like a perfect parachute. Well, we all told him he should have wrote something on the other end of the bag, because that was another one of his MOs, was he put signs on people's vehicles. But on this particular one, he didn't write nothing. He just did the parachute. But I know from a good source that the plumber had the parachute, but he never would let on like he ever saw it. He said, "Well, it must have just tore off." He wouldn't let our guy know that it actually worked and stayed on his truck till he finally noticed it in the rearview mirror. He had to pull over the side of the road and take it off. But he did roll that thing up, put it in his toolbox, and kept it for a long time. Hell, he may still have it. I don't know, and that's 20 years ago. But just something kind of funny that that's our job site tale for the day, kind of two of them for one. And remember, always, I want to hear your job site tales. Go over there to our links. We got an email site specifically for job site tales. And again, I don't care if you work in an office or a prison, wherever you may work. I know funny shit happens. And if it does, we want to hear about it. Now, we don't want to see nobody getting bullied or hurt or none of that crap. But I know funny things have happened from time to time. So go over there, be detailed, write us a good detailed email. And we're going to try to get that thing read on air here. You know, now remember when you're writing it, I'm going to read it in your words. I mean, I might paraphrase here and there, but most of it's going to be your wording. So be conscious of your grammar and your punctuation. You know, comma can make all the difference in a story, whether you pause or don't. Know what I'm talking about? Something else I wanted to talk about real quick today. Not going to talk a lot about it because, honestly, I don't know a lot about it. I'm trying to find out some stuff. And anybody that knows more than I do can help us out on this. And that's the Obamacare and our insurance as it stands today. I know that when Trump went in office, his main promise was to appeal Obamacare, and it hadn't happened yet. And that's our Republican senators and congressmen not being able to get on the same page. I mean, you control the House, you control the Senate, and you have the presidency. You should be able to get something done. I heard a conservative tell me the other day that, you know, one thing he can say is he may not agree with what the liberals agree with, but the one thing he does respect them for is they get shit done. And our conservative Republicans that are up there in Washington right now don't seem to be able to get anything done. They can't find their ass with both hands. It's like y'all need to get together, get this appealed. The main problem I have with it and have had with it since the beginning is, and it's to me, it's like the main thing that makes me think, how good can the whole thing be when this doesn't make sense? It's like a person goes on to the free marketplace or whatever those websites are called, puts in their information, it comes back and says, well, you know, you make too much to get subsidies, but here's your price for insurance is $350 a month or $400 a month. It's like, and a person can't afford that. Well, as part of Obamacare, if you can't afford it, then they're going to give you a tax penalty. And it's like, how does that make sense? I can't afford insurance, so you're going to penalize me on my taxes. I can't afford that either. I mean, to me, that's the most stupidest thing I've ever heard. And I'll be honest with you. Here's the deal. When all that was going on and Senator Mark Pryor was running for re-election here in the state of Arkansas, I sent him an email and told him that exactly how I felt about it. And he was running as a Democrat. And I like Mark Pryor. I want y'all to know that right up front. I would have voted for Mark Pryor. But basically, he sent me back a bunch of bullshit, or somebody on his staff did. You know, and I, as a person that voted for him, I think he needed to acknowledge the fact that I thought that was stupid and still will. And I don't know how any congressman or senator could have voted for it. I mean, the mandates that are in Obamacare are stupid. It's like, if we're going to let our government mandate us to do stuff like this, where does it stop? I mean, at some point, we have to put our foot down and say, that's none of your business. That's not what you're there for. And it's like, I don't know. I get so frustrated even trying to talk about it. That being said, I voted for Tom Cotton because Mark Pryor gave me bullshit answers. And it's like, I just don't like it. And to the Republicans that are up there today, all of us that voted for you, our Republican congressmen, Republican senators, and our Republican president, get shit done. Get Obamacare repealed, and let's move on. I was saying upheld. It's repealed, I guess. I don't know. I'm a bumpkin. I shouldn't have to know this stuff. But it just aggravates me to no end what they're doing, or what I should say, their lack of what they're doing up there. You know, you've been in here since first year. Let's get going. You know, year's half over. Let's get it done. Be done with this shit. You know, let's. And it's like, it makes me wonder too. Did the insurance company sell Obama a bill of goods and convince him that, hey, if you do Obamacare and you make everybody buy insurance, that it's going to go down? And the whole time they were probably thinking, man, as soon as we make it where everybody has to buy it, we're going to jack the shit out of these prices. My opinion, and again, it's my opinion, and I happen to know it's some opinion of other people, even some people in the medical profession that I've talked to, we need to go back to offering insurance companies, go back to offering a 90-10, an 80-20, or a 70-30 policy. You pick your deductible, you pick your stop loss, here's your price. No matter what happens, they pay for, if you got the 70-30 policy, they pay for 70% of it, you pay for 30% until you hit your stop loss, and then they pay 100%. And quit bullshitting with all this crap that they're doing. It's just a way of getting more money out of you. That's the whole thing in a nutshell. And insurance companies themselves are the one that's driving up medical costs. They force doctors and hospitals to have so many administration people to deal with this crap that they have to cover that cost somehow, so they keep jacking the cost of health care up. And it's like, it makes no sense whatsoever. And it's like the government, instead of regulating or mandating us to buy insurance, maybe they need to regulate the insurance companies, you know, and do look at it from a different perspective. Now, again, this is just my opinion. I'm sure we're going to get emails about it telling me I'm wrong, and maybe a few telling me I'm right. I mean, and again, if somebody can explain the tax penalty to me and make it make sense, how if I can't afford insurance, I can afford a tax penalty, I'm all ears, because I don't see the justification in it. I mean, almost to me, that's almost taxation without representation, isn't it? That's some food for thought, ain't it? It's what I think about it anyway. Could be. All right, let's move on from insurance. I think I've bitched about it enough. I might have to hit something up on Twitter about that. Which reminds me to follow us on Twitter at Bumpkin Bob Show. Don't forget that. Go over there and let's tweet back and forth or whatever we're doing there. I'm not sure exactly what you call it. Are they tweets or twits? That sounds like some shit. Anyway, let's move on. Today I wanted to talk about a pet peeve, and I'm telling y'all right now, as God is my witness, from time to time we're going to talk about my pet peeves on this show. And before we get started and get deep into it, we're going to talk about hat etiquette. And the first thing y'all are going to do is call me out because I'm wearing a ball cap right now indoors. I am, but it's part of being Bumpkin Bob. My producer says I need to wear the hat. That being said, also make apologies to the Halls, because when I was at their anniversary party, the house was pretty crowded. So I left my hat on because there really wasn't any place to put it, so to speak. So I make apologies for those two faux pas right there. But let's continue on with hat etiquette. My opinion, I'm not sure that there's anything written down about official hat etiquette. If there is, maybe I can find that. I didn't even try to look it up because I didn't think about it till just right now. But you should remove your head covering when you walk in a house. When you walk in some, especially a neighbor's house or somewhere where you're visiting. I mean, it's to me, it's a sign of respect. Walk in, take your damn hat off. Everybody that knows me knows that I either wear a ball cap or a cowboy hat. Most of the time it's a ball cap. And I, especially when I walk into somebody else's house, I take it off. And I do the same thing in my own house. And I take it off when I sit down to dinner. I take it off as soon as I walk into a restaurant. Now, maybe that's a little overkill. And as long as I think you're all right as long as you take it off when you sit down in a restaurant. I mean, while you're waiting in line, that's fine. But when you're sitting down to a meal, whether it's breakfast, lunch, or dinner, supper, whatever you want to call it, you need to take your head covering off. Now, I think there's different rules for men and women. I'm not sure about that, but I know at least for men, you should take your head covering off. Other places, take your head covering off when you walk in church. When you're in the house of the Lord, you uncover your head. That being said, happened to be flipping through the channels a couple months ago and on a Sunday morning. And on one of those obscure cable channels, you know, that's in that 200s, where you get into like the inspirational kind of stuff and churches and all of that. So I'm flipping through, this guy's up in the pulpit and he's got a cowboy hat on. And it's, I realized then they were calling it cowboy church. And there was people had cowboy hats on in church, in the house of the Lord. Now, let me tell you something. You take your hat off in church no matter what. It makes you no less a cowboy to take it off than to have it on. And to me, it's like it's a sign of disrespect. You don't stand, especially the guy who's supposed to be your pastor, standing up there in the pulpit with a damn cowboy hat on. Take your cowboy hat off. You know, show some respect. You can still call it cowboy church, but you should have your hat off. When the national anthem's played, take your hat off, especially you young people. You need to remember to do that. Take it off. Stand up on your feet. Take your hat off. Put your hand over your heart. This is the U.S., people, United States of America. National anthem plays, we stand up. I don't care who you are. And don't give me no bullshit about, well, I'm protesting this one thing or that one thing. I don't give a shit what you're protesting. The reason you can protest is because of that you're in the U.S. and you need to stand up and respect our national anthem and our flag. And if you don't, you need to find you another country to live in. You see it a lot from the younger generation, and I understand they probably weren't taught right, but you older generation that walk into a restaurant and sit down with your ball cap or your cowboy hat on drives me literally fucking nuts. Shouldn't say that word, but I did. It's like, take your damn hat off at the table, especially you older people. You know better. I bet most of you weren't raised that way. Now, I don't know exactly where my knowledge of this came from or why I really started doing it, but it's just the way it should be. I have been known, and you can ask people I've worked with, especially when we've been doing church remodels. And so the church is still using part of the building or most of the building, and you're just remodeling little sections here at the time or adding on. If there's a funeral at that church, when that funeral procession pulls out, especially if like you're doing an add-on and you're just out on a slab where they can see you. I take my hard hat off, place it against my chest, and I stand there quietly while the funeral procession's leaving. It's a sign of respect to me. I mean, they're taking that person for their last ride to their eternal rest. I show my respect. If you're ever in the truck with me and we get stopped at a stoplight or, you know, at an intersection, police officer pulls up there and blocks it so a funeral procession can come by. I take my hat off while it's passing by. It's just what I do. I mean, to me, it's a sign of respect for the dead. And I don't probably won't even know the person. I still do. Sign of respect for their family and friends that are laying them to rest. So I think people in people in this country have really got away from respecting things. I mean, we don't respect each other's homes. We don't respect each other. We don't respect shit. You know, and I kind of blame a little bit, maybe mostly my generation, for not passing that down to your kids and then them on to their grandkids. It's like respect has to be taught almost. We don't respect police officers. We don't respect our military. We don't respect our flag. We don't respect our national anthem. And we don't respect people's houses. We don't respect nothing. I mean, and if taking my hat off and showing a little respect is wrong, then I'm just going to be wrong. I mean, that's just how it is. And I think a lot of people should start doing that. I mean, let's have a little respect for each other. You know, you show a little respect, you're going to get a little respect. That's just common courtesy, and that's just how it is. Man, I keep going back and thinking about that cowboy church and them people being in church wearing their damn hat. Probably in and around, I would say, 99 or 98. We used to go to Branson quite a lot. We'd taken the kids up there. And I think this particular time we spent a week up in Branson. And then we happened to go out there and we were going to go see the Shepherd of the Hills show that night, which if you hadn't seen it, I highly recommend it if it's still going. I need to find out, maybe get somebody to get on a website and see if that's still going and send us an email about it. I'm sure it is. But part of the deal we paid for, we toured the whole Shepherd of the Hills grounds and stuff. Well, there's, and I'm not sure what they call a church that's still being used or is still ordained, I guess. Is it the same as a pastor? I'm not sure. But whether people still worship there or not, to me, once it's a church, it's always a church. And it's the house of the Lord. It's the way I grew up. I mean, it's the way I was raised. That's just what it is. But there's a little church house there on the Shepherd of Hills grounds. And they pulled the tour up there, and we're all going to go inside the church house. I already took my hat off. But that guy standing at the door is having to tell people, this is still the house of the Lord. You must, you know, you need to remove your head coverings. And it's one thing for younger kids, but I was astonished at how many of the older generation, you know, and at the time, I was in my 30s, but it was like how many of the older generation, my age and older, had to be told to take their hats off to walk into church. I mean, I've never seen anything more disrespectful than walking into the house of the Lord. You can walk into my house without your hat on or with your hat on, and I'm not going to raise no hell about it. But it is disrespectful. But to walk into the house of the Lord with your hat on, I just can't. I just don't buy that. Now, with that, there are some religions that they require that. So that's completely different. You know, if that's, you know, I think I'm way out of my element here, people. I don't want to step on any toes or piss anybody off about their religion. But the little hats that the Jewish men wear, I think they're supposed to leave those on. That's different. That's part of your culture. That's part of your religious belief. But if you're just a Christian, whether it's Methodist, Baptist, Pentecostal, Nazarene, Lutheran, and I'm leaving a bunch out, I know, Assembly of God, you walk into church, you take your hat off. You don't leave it on your head. Pull that sumbitch off and be respectful. I'm not being very respectful by using the language that I'm using, but y'all know what I'm talking about. And again, if you ever see the old bumpkin out eating at a restaurant and I got my cap on, you tell me to take it off. I'm not going to get pissed off at you. I'm going to take my – oh, I'm sorry, I forgot. I'm probably not going to forget, and you're probably not going to catch me with my hat on at a restaurant, but in case you do, you can go ahead and tell me. I'm not going to get pissed off, at least not like I did yesterday on the job site. I try not to do that too often because it doesn't make a – and while we're talking about that, I'm going to get off the subject of hat etiquette for just a minute, and I'm not saying we won't jump back on it, but – another little thing that I've noticed, and I don't do residential construction, so I'm not sure it happens on residential construction, but you guys that are doing commercial construction know that this happens, and I'm going to let people that are having commercial buildings built in on a little secret. There are things that go on in that building that affect its quality. And it's basically because people try covering other people up. You know, it's like sometimes, and I'm not saying all of them, sometimes the people that build the walls, your masons, sheetrock, metal studs and sheetrock guys, or wood framing and sheetrock guys, they want to build a barn. They don't want to build anything with mechanical equipment in it. They don't want to deal with electric. They don't want to deal with plumbing, and they don't want to deal with heating and air. They don't want to deal with sprinkler systems or fire alarms or intercom systems, anything that keeps them from just being able to throw up a wall and cover it. They don't want to deal with. And a lot of superintendents out there, let them get by with this shit. And just so building owners know, you know, there comes a time when to get something, they think they're getting finished faster by covering up the mechanical people. All they're doing is slowing them down. So that's part of the reason it takes your building longer to get built. And then they're having to go back and cut stuff in and do things that really isn't the way things need to be done. And it's all because these people don't care. They just want to build a building with no mechanicals in it. And I'm telling you, the building owners themselves right now, when you're doing a commercial building, and I'm probably going to catch a lot of flack from this because I'm sure the last thing commercial contractors and superintendents want is the building owner to be more involved. They don't want to see you until it's over. But you need to get put in your spec book that you want to do inspections before walls are covered up. You want to see the electricals done right. You want to see the plumbing's done right. You want to see these systems that these other guys want to cover up. You know, I hear it all the time, especially from like the bigger sheetrocker companies that, well, if I don't go ahead in one side, I don't know when I'll be able to get them back. And it's like, it's such a crock of shit. You know, now there are some companies out there that I've worked with that are very conscious of the fact that they're not building barns and that these buildings all have to have mechanicals in them. Because I guarantee you, if you got a building that had block walls or sheetrock walls that didn't have no plumbing or no electric in it, you'd throw a fit. So that being said, I mean, get out there and inspect your buildings and tell these general contractors that you want to inspect some of this stuff. Now, I hope I don't care. I may lose my job over this. But I'm telling y'all, we need to all work together and make sure everybody's stuff gets put in. It's almost like a daily job hassle to try to get your stuff put in, you know, and they'll tell you you're not doing it in a timely manner and all. It's like stuff takes time to put in. That's all I can say. You know, and if you think it takes time to put it in the right way, you ought to have to go back and cut it in the bullshit way. Really takes a lot of time then. And it's like I never understood when you get a superintendent that his whole goal is to try to cover people up. It just mystifies me to no end. So I think I pretty much had my say-so about a bunch of shit today and pissed a bunch of people off because I got pissed off yesterday. And then we talked a little bit about my views on hat etiquette. And again, people, take your damn hat off when you sit down to eat, at least. You know, have a little, show a little respect. It's all we're trying to do. And I think I've tried to instill that in my kids by not just their hats, but showing respect in general. Before we go on in the show, I want to talk about something else. And it's going back to even the people that I were just talking about as far as worksite stuff's related. Eventually, as we get on into this Bumpkin Bob show, we're going to start honoring a trade of the month. Now, my feelings about this is people hear trade of the month that automatically think construction. They think, you know, heavy equipment operator or linemen or electricians or plumbers or sheetrockers or block masons. Those are trades. Those are very respectable trades. But, you know, other trades, as far as I'm concerned, is anything you do, whether you're a police officer, a fireman, a nurse, a cashier at Walmart, that's a trade. I mean, as far as that goes, even if you work in an office building, you know, if you're clerical, that's a trade. If you're the billing supervisor, that's a trade. If you're an engineer that works in an office or an architect, that's all trades as far as I'm concerned. Everything in the world is a trade. If you work and draw a paycheck, it's a trade. So what I'd like to see happen and where this eventually goes is we'll pick a trade of the month and say, okay, this month, this is a trade we're going to honor. And then what I would like you to see, and remember as I'm saying this, go through the proper channels when you do this. But let's just say we say this month's nurses is going to be the trade of the month. Well, you know, if you got a small hospital in your town or a big hospital for that matter or a doctor's office, you know, let's go down and feed these people lunch. Maybe get a local civic group involved. Go down and feed them lunch. You know, now again, go through the proper channels. You know, if we're doing police officers or firemen, they've usually got a public relations officer that you probably need to go through. Or if you're dealing with office workers or construction people, you probably need to go through a project manager, an office manager. There's probably somebody you need to go through and set this up. Don't just show up one day and say, I'm going to feed y'all lunch. Go through the proper channels, but show up, get a civic group involved, feed these people lunch, visit with them, you know, talk, you know, ask them what they actually do during the day. I mean, I know the people like block masons, plumbers, electric. I mean, we'd love for people to ask us what we actually do and explain what we're doing and what our job entails. We love that shit. So talk to them about it. Ask them what's going on. And if you can, get a little video. Make sure on your video that you include your name, who you're feeding. I mean, whether it's what month we're in, okay? You know, I'm John Doe this month where this is the trade of the month and we're down here at XYZ Company and we're going to feed these people and I'm with the Lions Club or a local church group, whoever's with you are helping you do this. If you're having it catered, you know, let us know who the caterer is, but get us a little 3 to 5 minute video. Download that over there. We're going to have a place where you can download that on our website so that we can maybe get that and show it on the Bunk and Bob show. You know, maybe show one or two of them a week and really honor these people. Everybody out there from, you know, and I'll use a job site, for instance. Everybody from the superintendent down to laborers and every trade that's in between. They're all out there busting their ass to do something and build a building for somebody. And we're going to try to get all these trades honored at some point. So we're probably going to start off with a trade of the month. And again, get us the video. Make sure that you let us know who all your, you know, who the civic organization you're working with is, who's catering it. If it's the ladies at the church you're working with, we want to know that. You know, who's cooking the meal and what, you know, like if you're feeding the sheriff's department, we want to know what sheriff's department you're feeding. Get these guys on video. Let's see their smiling faces. Anyway, that's something we're going to start probably here in the next little bit. Be looking for it. We'll take suggestions of the trade of the month. And, you know, once we get started, if we're doing the trade of the month, we can only get 12 in a year because that's all the months we got. But we'll try to get those in and honor these people and give them a little meal and a little fellowship time. Last week in the show, I alluded to the El Camino and that at some point we're going to fix that thing up and that I would tell y'all that story. Well, I got to thinking this week. I think I'm going to go ahead and tell you the story and then that'll set you up for a little anticipation when we actually start redoing this thing. That El Camino belonged to my dad, who passed away in 2014. Now, I have no idea why he started loving El Caminos, but he did. He usually tried up until, and I can't remember what year it was, there in the 80s, maybe 86 or 87, that they actually quit making El Caminos. But he always tried to get an El Camino as his company vehicle. And he just loved them to death. I'm not sure where that love affair came from, but he loved him an El Camino. Well, he ended up, after he retired, he ended up with he had a couple different ones, but the last one he had was an 83 El Camino. He'd let a bunch of people drive it. And hell, I drove it for a couple weeks myself when my vehicle was broke down, but he'd let, you know, kids and grandkids use it from time to time for that kind of stuff. But it ended up sitting in the weeds out behind his house. Now, my dad was real big about making offers that he knew what he thought the outcome would be. I'm not exactly sure how to say this. You're going to understand by the time I'm through telling this story what I mean. And actually, I've got a second story I'm going to tell kind of on the same lines about Dad. Since we just had Father's Day, we'll just keep going with this and do a little bit about him. But on a particular weekend, we all ended up at my dad's house for a big cookout. And it was, you know, me and my ex and our kids, and then my sisters and their kids and husbands. I mean, there's quite a few people there. And we've been there all day, and it ate us a big dinner. And I'm pretty sure, I'm almost positive it was a Sunday afternoon, because we ended up coming back to Siloam. But Dad lived there off of Lake Conway, right outside of Mayflower. And we're all sitting there on his back porch visiting and laughing and joking, just having a good time. And that old El Camino sitting out there in the weeds, you can see it from his back porch. And it's basically setting the other side of his chain link fence over where he didn't mow anymore. But weeds has all grown up around it and shit. Well, Dad being Dad, he's like, boy, if that old El Camino, if you could get it running, I'd just let you drive it home. He said that because he didn't think there was no way in hell I could get it running. Well, Bumpkin Bob has been turning wrenches on vehicles since I was a kid. Now, if it's just a normal, what I call old school carbureted vehicle, I can probably get it running. Now, these newfangled vehicles with all their electronics, I'm out. I'm done. But those old things, I can usually pretty much troubleshoot them and get them going. Well, it had a few flat tires, so I ended up out there in the weeds, and some of my nephews came out there with me, and my oldest boy trying, and my youngest boy too. And we fiddled and fiddled, and we ran some the tires up and aired them up. And now these tires were bald as shit. And I'm not exactly sure how long that thing been sitting out in the weeds, but it'd been out there a while. And I think I ended up having to replace the distributor cap and the rotor on it. But after just a little bit, got it jumped off and tires aired up, that baby fired off. Well, you should have just seen the look on my dad's face. My sisters even still talk about how funny it was that day that he made that statement, and then we got that thing running. Well, Martha, his wife, just went in and got me the title. It was like, he said it. He's going to back it up. So he tried to crawfish a little bit, but there wasn't much he could do. Too many people heard him say it. And we ended up, the ex and two kids got in her car, and then me and my oldest boy got in that El Camino and drove it back to Siloam. And as we were coming into Siloam, we took what's called the Weddington exit, or into Fayetteville, I'm sorry. Took the Weddington exit and cut through Highway 16 to come into Siloam. Well, he wanted to drive, so I let him drive. He had his learner's permit. And we blew a tire coming around Lake Weddington, and he did really well. But we got her off the road, and there was a spare, so we got the spare tire on it and drove it on to the house, and ended up putting tires on it. And it got him through a year in high school, and then it broke down, and it set for quite a little bit. And my youngest boy ended up wanting to work on it, so me and him tinkered with it. And which goes back to what we talked about last week about buying an old beater truck or something and you and your kids working on it. You'll never have more fun than that, and they can't hurt the stupid thing. As long as it ain't your daily driver, what difference does it make? You know, get them out there. You know, if you pull the distributor and don't get it back and you run out of time on Sunday, it's no big deal. You work on it next week. You know, you get the distributor 180 degrees out of rotation. You'll figure it out next week. There's no big hurry on it. But me and him got it back going. And actually, we ended up that particular year model they had finally put a computer on board, and it controlled a little bit of the stuff, maybe the air fuel mixture on the carburetor, a little bit of stuff on the distributor. Not exactly sure what the ECM on that thing actually controlled, but we pulled that baby out and ordered a Elderbrock carburetor and a new HEI distributor from JEGS and put on there, and then rewired some stuff. And hell, it got him all the way through high school. And that old El Camino's just sitting out here in the driveway now. It does start and run. I mean, it can be jumped off, but it's really not roadworthy, and old paint's faded pretty bad on it. So at some point, we're going to bite the bullet, maybe get a sponsor or two if we can, and we're going to redo that old El Camino and try to do some short video segments, or at least pictures maybe posted on our website, and let y'all see the progress of that when we started. I think that's going to be a pretty cool thing to do, and we'll do that in honor of Bobby Griggs, Bobby Dean Griggs, my dad, and we're going to get all my kids involved in it and try to get that thing back where it's roadworthy, where we can all start driving in a little bit. The other thing that kind of shows that same mentality of my dad, and I'm going to start this story up and set it up with the fact that everybody that knows me knows I do not carry cash. I just don't do it. I don't know when that got started, but I just don't carry cash. And especially after bank accounts started doing debit cards, I bet I haven't carried cash in 25 or 30 years. I just rarely have cash on me. Just it's something I don't do. And everybody knows that. Well, ended up one weekend at Mayflower, see my dad. I've been down to Little Rock, visited my sisters and this and that, and then ended up over at Mayflower hanging out with him and kind of visiting around and stuff. And he was like, he asked a question. He said, "Have you seen my .22 rifle that I got?" And I said, "Yeah, I think I have." So he sent Martha in there to get his .22, and she brought it out there. And basically what it was, for you gun guys, it was a .22 Ruger, 10/22 is the model. And it had a stainless steel barrel and receiver, stainless steel scope, and a laminated stock. And that, for those of you that don't know, they laminate the different colored woods together, and then they carve the stock and sand it down, and you get greens and reds and natural colors. It's just really a pretty cool little thing. But brought it out there, and we was kind of looking at it, and he's like, "You know, if you had $100 on you, I'd let you take that gun home." I started laughing. I said, "Well, guess what?" I whipped my wallet out and threw a $100 bill down on the table, because unbeknownst to him, and I don't even know why I had it on me, I had $300 in my pocket. I had three $100 bills, and which was very, very, very unusual. Like I said, I never carry cash. But I whipped that $100 bill down and threw it on the table, and oh my God, you should have seen his face. It was just like one of the funniest things. I mean, it's just like when he mouthed off about the El Camino. And he started crawfishing. "Oh, I don't know." He said, "Oh, I'm afraid $100 just wouldn't buy that. I'd probably have to have $150. I whooped out another $100 bill. I said, "You got change for $100? Well, then he really went to backpedaling. He's like, "Oh, man, I better not sell that." He said, I think Eddie would be mad at me." And his stepdaughter's husband, Eddie, him had bought the gun originally, I guess. I'm not sure if he bought it from somebody or bought it brand new. But him and my dad had basically sold this gun back and forth to each other. And it was kind of like the story I think Jerry Clowers used to tell about the two old men selling the mule back and forth, and then one of them selling it, and the other one got mad because they was making a pretty damn good living selling that mule back and forth to each other. Well, I think that's kind of what Dad and Eddie were doing. They was making them a pretty good little living selling that damn gun back and forth to each other. And so he didn't want to break the cycle, I guess, because he's afraid Eddie'd be mad, because he knew from, again, people that know me know this, I've got every gun I've ever been given or bought. I mean, I got a 10/22 Ruger, just a plain wood model with a blue barrel, when I was 12 years old. And you know, that gun hadn't changed much since that. I mean, it's been around that long, but I still got it from when I was 12. There's not a gun that I've ever bought that I've ever turned around and resold. I just don't get rid of guns. That's just the way I am. It's just my DNA, I guess. But he knew if he sold that gun to me, he'd never see it again, at least not own it again. He'd probably see it again. He just would never own it because I wouldn't sell it back to him. That's just the way I am. So needless to say, I came back to Siloam that weekend without that gun because he crawfished right out of that one. But I'm pretty sure that even with the El Camino and with that gun thing, it didn't break him of his little habit. And I got this feeling, if we question family and friends, that there are people out there that could probably tell their little tale of Dad doing that to them. That being said, if we got any family that's watching this and you got one of them stories where he offered something and then crawfished out of it, I'd like to hear it. I mean, send us an email on that. Again, get on our website. There's links on there to our emails. You know, especially your job site tales. I want to hear them. I think shit like that's just funnier than hell. So send me your job site tales. Follow us on Twitter at Bumpkin Bob Show. It's taking me a little bit to get that down. Y'all should be proud of me. I'm trying to come up to this century, so to speak, and get hooked up on the Twitter. Now, I'm not real good yet about tweeting. I mean, I'm going to get better as we go along. And any help that y'all can give me or advice on tweeting, I'd be happy to hear it. So either shoot that to me in a tweet, I guess. I don't know if we can do that back and forth or not. I know you can send me an email over at the Bunk and Bob Show. It's going to be on our website, those links to those email addresses. And I don't know if you can tell it, but I've been talking for almost an hour and my voice is kind of going. So let's recap. We talked about today. I bitched a little bit about insurance. I bitched probably a little bit too much about how buildings get built and had my little say. I hope there's no repercussions from that. And we talked about our hat etiquette. And don't, please don't send me no emails about wearing my hat in the house. I know I've got it on, but it's strictly for artistic values here on the show. Now, that being said, please come back next Saturday and spend a little time with us. Get a little entertainment. Hear you some job site tales and maybe me rant about some things here and there. We've really enjoyed the time we spend with you today. So make sure you come back next week, and we'll see you then here on the Bumpkin Bob Show.